Old Testament lesson is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light is dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And the New Testament lesson is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, may your teachings come fresh to us. May the words that you spoke, the message that you brought, stir up in us new kindling of faith, new desire to love and serve, new desires to come and worship you, Lord of all. Amen. Some of you probably looked at the order of service today, checked the hymns, checked the readings, and tried to join up a few dots and wondered what on earth is going on here. A passage from Isaiah, which we normally read at Advent, a hymn that starts about the buyer in Bethlehem. Have we missed a few months, or is this just getting ahead of the crowd and even getting in front of Tesco's and all those shops that are going to put their Christmas stuff out? Probably already. But it's not about that at all, because we tend to divide things up into seasons and moments, and we tend to divide our readings up from the Bible into those seasons and moments. But they weren't written for Christmas, and they weren't written for times of year. They were written for journeys of faith, and they were written such that we would be able to follow the route, to join the dots, and to make up our own mind in our own time when we were ready about who Jesus is. That question which was asked of the disciples, which Peter jumped in at the end with the right answer at last. And we want to be there. We want to be the ones whom Jesus turns to say, "Yes, you've got this right. Here are the kingdoms of heaven. You are wonderful. I'm going to build my church on you. It's fantastic." But the truth is that Peter was there for a moment and then he kind of fell back a bit and came back and forward as he got the idea, didn't get the idea. But perhaps most of us, if any of us, are not quite there yet. Because Peter took a long time to get there. He helped to join the dots himself, but he also had Jesus alongside to direct his hand and to show him what was happening and what he should be thinking about. The thing is, we have those same teachings in our scriptures. We have those same teachings in the words of the gospel. So where are we in our joining the dots scenario and activity? We need to go back to the Old Testament, which is a shock for some people and something that most people don't really want to bother with. Because when you take a first look at the Old Testament, it is full of shock and horror and wars and battles and killing and maiming and fighting and disasters and all the sorts of things that we really just want to put aside. We've got enough of those on our news today. We don't need to listen to them from years ago and hear that God wanted all this to happen. The truth is, God didn't and doesn't want all those tragedies to happen. He has a much better plan and a much better route for us to follow. But the trouble is, we're not joining the dots, and certainly not in sequence. And we're not taking our time to see where it is we're going. And we're not taking time to wonder what might happen next. We're trying to stand back and see the full picture and tell God what it says and tell God what it is. But it's not for us to do that. And in truth, we won't know and see what the full picture is until the end, until the very end. We have the join the dots of a lion, or maybe it is a tiger. We think it's a lion because we're told it's a lion. Maybe you can't believe everything you're told either. Maybe you've got to check things out and actually go through the motions of joining those dots and making sure that it is a lion. Because we take things for granted and we listen to what other people are telling us about what the picture is. And we need to find our own picture. We need to know it's the one that Jesus, that God wants us to see and hear for our own lives. We need to make the connections ourselves. And we can't simply rely on someone else saying, I did that last week, it's definitely a lion. Or a butterfly. Perhaps that's a butterfly that you have seen. Perhaps that's a butterfly that you would love just to sit and draw around and colour in this afternoon because, well, it's nice and peaceful. Perhaps it's something you've seen and you can recognise and you just pass on and say, oh, that's not for us. That's too young for us. That's too wee for us. We're beyond that. We are more advanced than that. What a waste of time that would be. But perhaps until we've taken the time to actually draw a butterfly, to look at it and imagine it and to colour it as we would, perhaps we don't get the full story, the full vitality, the full understanding of what that butterfly is and represents. And perhaps for those of us who are not so much into the pictures, maybe we just need to Google butterfly. See what they are, see the varieties of species, see the differences that there are, understand what they do and understand what they mean for our creation, for us to live. Understand the flowers that they like and why they like them and what they do with them. There is so much to learn behind a picture, but too often we are happy to see the outline. We make up the rest of the story ourselves and we assume that we are right. Or perhaps it is the standard poodle. And perhaps all we have to do in this one is just draw the lines and leave it because it's a white one. We don't have to do any more. We just leave it as it is. That would suit some of us down to the ground. But the lines that are there are tiny. The drawing that is required is just minute. Perhaps not even room for a ruler and a pencil in some of them. And sometimes we wonder, is it all worthwhile, this detail? Why do we have so much detail? Can we not just draw an outline? We know what it is. But sometimes God puts a detail in our life because it is important. And sometimes we need to stop and take time on that detail before we move on to the next part. And sometimes we need to study things a little bit more closely rather than just simply quick on to the next page and the next part. Because there are other dot-to-dot constructions. Do you know what this one might be? This has got lots and lots of dots in it. It's got a few little marks along it to try and help us decipher what it might be. Perhaps it needs somewhere that you need to have been in order to recognize it. Perhaps you need to put a few lines in before you discover what it is. Perhaps you don't want to start at number one. Perhaps you want to start somewhere in the middle so it'll give you some clues. Like the program where you've got to guess the word or the phrase. You want the middle part of it so that you understand it better. You'll get the clues and you will see what it is and you can move on quickly. This, believe it or not, is the Statue of Liberty. And once you know, you think, oh, okay, I can get that. I can see that. I almost understand what that might be. But then you go on to other dot-to-dots. Can you imagine doing one of these? Not a clue what it is when you start. Not the foggiest idea. And the only way that you're going to find out is if you are interested enough to find out. I did know what that was and I can't remember. I did know what that was because I looked at the back of the book. Because you know what? I couldn't be bothered. Well, I might be, actually. I might be bothered with something like that. But tiny, tiny lines. I might be bothered. Maybe it's a horse. Maybe it's a butterfly. Maybe it's a garden scene. Maybe it's a man drinking water. Lots of different things that are divided up into tiny little lines that we then decipher only by following the route. So you're getting the idea that we need to take it step by step in our faith journey too. And so let's rewind back to that chapter and that passage from Isaiah, which talks about the coming Messiah. And different ways of understanding it. In that culture, they maybe just thought it was some good king that was going to come and rule over them, some human being that was going to have all the right answers, someone better than they'd had before. That was what they were looking for. But God had a better, bigger plan, but they didn't know it at the time. All they had to go on were these passages which said, something good is going to happen. I have not forgotten you. And we hear it throughout the Psalms. I have not forgotten you. Just stick with this. And sometimes in our lives, there are moments when we just have to stick with it. When people are making life difficult, or simply life is difficult, or we just don't know what's going to happen next, or our family are in turmoil, things that we do not understand. And it seems that the lines and the dots are so close together, we're going round in circles, and it's just making one black mass, and we don't know what to take on from it, and we don't know where it's going to lead us. And perhaps that black mass is not a black wandering, it's not a black hole. Perhaps that is just our time to stay close to where we are. Just take that moment, take that time, take those issues that are important to us at that moment, and don't go off on tangents, but just stay with it until we find the way out. And suddenly that next number takes us off somewhere else, and we leave that not behind, but we learn lessons and we take those lessons with us to move on to what the next part will be. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those were the clues that were given to the people, the Hebrews, the Israelites, who were looking for someone to come and save them and to get them out of the slavery and the hole that they were in. This was a few verses and a few words, perhaps, that they had to make them hopeful and hope-filled that someone was coming who was going to make things right. And if we move all that information that we have, perhaps in with a little tune behind it somewhere, perhaps if we move that information then to say, what about this baby who was born in Bethlehem, gurgling in a manger, a tiny, fragile baby? Surely that's not what God had in mind with a wonderful counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and a baby? You are kidding me. And if people leave it there, then that's a joke. That is a joke. Because that is not the end of the story. That is but the next part, the next chapter, the next beginning. But if you leave the baby in the manger, then that's us scuppered because that's all we have. It's love and it's tender and it's caring, but that's all we have. But as we read through the Gospels and we read of Jesus' life and as he continues to discern what we need and tell us through parable and teaching and his actions and his miracles, if we continue with him on the journey, not rushing through, but stopping, taking our time, making those connections and looking back, because that line over there might mean nothing unless we have this story and this picture over here. But containing within ourselves and our own faith journey what we have been through, what we have discovered, what we have learned, and taking that on to the next part and the next chapter and the next piece of the picture, then perhaps we will begin to realize that the Mighty Counselor is Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, who came as a counselor to those who needed help, who came as a counselor for those whose lives were a mess, who came as a counselor in so many different notions and meanings of that word counselor that we have today, who was willing to come and sit with people, but was also willing to give them sage advice. The one who was the Mighty God, who could calm the seas, who could do amazing things, who could shatter social injustices in a flash. Because it's not just about the miracles of nature and the miracles of feeding. This is about the miracle of actually breaking down the barriers between those who were ultra-religious and those who were outcasts. It's about bringing us all together as one. And as we begin to make those connections, surely we begin to see that this Jesus of Nazareth is the one who was promised so long ago. And if we can make those connections in our heart and in our mind and in our souls and in our spirits, then we'll be driven on to find out what is the next part of this picture. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those are perhaps titles that mean different things to different people. But certainly at our peace service this afternoon, 5 o'clock, rain or shine, we're considering, or we will be, obviously, including the Prince of Peace in that peace service, because he is the one who has said, I will bring peace. But he will bring it, not land it in the middle of our lives. He will bring it step by step as we are willing, as we are committed, as we are devoted and dedicated to taking the next steps in our lives, in our journey of faith. Joining the dots, helping us understand, way back from the Old Testament right the way through. We do not understand one life, one person, by 5 minutes of conversation with them. We do not understand them perhaps with 50 years of marriage to them. Still more to discover and still more to find out and still more to look to together and work out what's happening. We might not know each other that well enough as a family, as a church. We might not even know who we're sitting beside particularly well. There's only one way to remedy that, and that's to talk and to ask and to say, I'm sorry, I've known you for 50 years, but who are you again? to take the risk of being rebuffed and saying, are you a visitor? No, I've been here 40 years, thinking, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. And to being aware that in those conversations, we are joining dots in our own lives, but also in our journey of faith. When Peter said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, this wasn't out the blue. This was a Peter, a disciple who had lived with Jesus, who had walked with him, who was joining the dots step by step with him, but who also had the Old Testament background and knowledge in his head, who knew they were waiting for someone who would fulfill those prophecies. And when you join the dots, you know he does. But if you don't bother to join the dots, he will remain Jesus of Nazareth, a really nice guy who did really good things, who helped people in social injustices, which is wonderful. But we do not see him as the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, who has been given to us to make life good, not just for us, but for all people. Joining the dots, not just for ourselves, but for the sake of those around us, not just for ourselves, but for the world that needs those dots joined up. And if we go wrong, and if we head off in the wrong direction, and if we misread a number, or if we jump a few chapters, a mistake. He is the one who can help us get back to where we should be. He is the one who will put us back on track with the right numbers and the right direction and the right picture. Who do you say I am? That depends on our journey. It depends how much we've looked into this. It depends how much we've allowed him to speak to us and to direct us. It depends what it is we want to see, because sometimes we can look at those dots and see something that is completely amiss. We can think, oh, that is my standard poodle. And someone will say, oh, no, that's my standard poodle. Let's not jump to those conclusions. And let's not jump to conclusions about God either. And people jump to conclusions about God, as many do in our world and our culture. They jump to the conclusion that he is a punishing, judgmental, horrific, warlike God. If you read in context, if you read with help and discussion, if you read the Gospels, that is not what you find. So the plea is to join the dots for yourself. Because, you know, it's no good me telling you that this is what the picture is. There's no point in me telling you that that's what that picture turns out to be. That's a picture for me. Your picture will be different. Maybe not completely different, but it will be different. Because we all have different worries and concerns. We all have different families spread around the world. We all have different attributes. We all have different gifts and personalities, pasts and cultures and gifts. So many different things that feed into the picture that he is drawing with us, for us, now. Maybe a simple thing is to start with a simple dot to dot with a child or grandchild, niece, nephew, any child you can manage to find. No, not quite. Don't do that. But maybe it is that we need to go back in a simple picture and draw that butterfly. And as we draw it, think, what is the process of doing this? How long do I take? And as we perhaps think of a more complicated one, do we have the patience to do that? Or is there another way? Perhaps dot to dot is not how you would do it. But consider how you would and will and must take those steps along your faith journey. Consider the times when you are being asked to rest, to pause, to commit a bit further. Consider the times when you're asked to drive on ahead. Consider the times when you're asked by God to be doing whatever it is he's asking you to do, because he is. It's kind of thing saying he's got his eye on you, which sounds really back to the Old Testament stuff. It's not. He's got his eye on you. He knows what you're going through. He knows the troubles. He knows the worries. He knows the joys. He knows the excitement. He knows the adventures. He knows everything. And he has a dot-to-dot picture of faith ready for us to journey along. Butterfly, lion, tiger, poodle, Statue of Liberty for freedom, perhaps. What does he want you to see? But more than that, what is he showing you to make in your life, of your life, with faith in him? Who do you say I am? We can just pluck something out of the air, or we can think, who are you to me? Who do I tell others you are by the way I live and the words I speak? Who are you in my life? Messiah? Jesus of Nazareth? Someone around somewhere sometime? Your answer, your picture, your journey. Amen.